You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the Cardinals. If you believe the hype, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray are going to be football's Eric B. and Rakim. Mm. For those of you at home who are not rap music historians, Eric B. and Rakim dropped an album in 1987 that elevated and legitimized rap as an art form.
Classic.
It was called Paid in Full.
Full.
10 tracks from I Ain't No Joke to Move the Crowd to Eric B. as President.
Yeah.
All classics. To this day, Paid in Full is the rap gold standard. Changed the game.
Say that again.
Kingsbury and Kyler, or as I like to call them, KK, are supposed to change and elevate the NFL. They're supposed to legitimize the college spread gun offenses that keep turning Big 12 quarterbacks into Heisman Trophy winners and top draft picks. Hell, the Arizona Cardinals fired their rookie head coach and rookie quarterback from a year ago to make room for KK, two guys who came to fame in the Big 12 Conference. Kingsbury was the Doogie Howser of college coaches. He was 33 when he took over as head coach at Texas Tech and doubled down on Mike Leach's air raid offense. Kyler is the Mighty Mouse of sports, a relatively tiny two-sport superstar, a first-round pick in baseball and football. He won the Heisman at Oklahoma in his lone season on the gridiron. I bring all this up because last night, KK ran into some NFL turbulence, and it was ugly. The Oakland Raiders throttled KK in a preseason game. In the first half, the Raiders outscored the Cardinals 26-0. Worse, Kyler completed just 3 of 8 passes for 12 yards. He was sacked twice. He fell backwards on one sack and gave up a safety. His collegiate pre-snap clapping motion drew 2 false start penalties, which is what made me think of Eric B. and Rakim. Make him clap to this. The chorus for Eric B. is President. And so I'm like, Kingsbury and Kyler are going to take over the NFL the way Eric B. and Rakim took over the rap game in 1987, but they don't even know how to clap legally? It's not happening. There's too much resistance. NFL coaches don't like or respect Cliff Kingsbury and how he got this job. Who knows if Steve Wilks was a good NFL head coach? What NFL coaches do know is it was highly unfair for Arizona to fire him after one season and then turn around and hire the only coach to fail at Texas Tech in the last 40 years. Raiders coach John Gruden is an NFL lifer. He's a major player in the NFL coaching fraternity. I don't think it was a coincidence the Raiders used an assortment of blitzes in an exhibition game. I think NFL coaches would like to see Kingsbury fail. They don't want to see college failures handed one of the 32 best coaching jobs in all of football. The NFL is a tight-knit group. Kingsbury's going to get hazed by everyone in the NFL fraternity. All last season, the refs flagged quarterbacks for false starts 8 times. Despite Kingsbury pleading with the head of officials during pregame warm-ups, Kyler was flagged twice. Kingsbury got hazed last night. Last year, Sean McVay's success had every NFL franchise looking for the next Sean McVay. That's part of the reason Kingsbury landed the Arizona job. If Kingsbury is successful, you'll see more pro teams look to the college ranks for their next head coach. And they won't even need to be a successful college coach. Kingsbury's NFL coaching peers can't let him move the crowd. Little Kyler Murray might end up collateral damage to the Kingsbury resistance. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst T.J. Housmanzadeh and the NFL Network's Bucky Brooks. Marcellus, start us off. Will Kingsbury and Kyler, will that combination work?
You know the answer to that. I mean, obviously, it's too early to tell, but I will give you some bullet points that we should emphasize. One, we need to all take a collective breath and remember, this was the worst team in football last year. Can we remember that?
Arizona or the Raiders?
Close. The worst team in football. That offensive line is porous, as they say. It's easy to
get
a sack.
You can get sacks on it.
Boy, I come back, lose 10, and I can go get these against them boys. I mean, every game we've seen so far. Secondly, you talk about only 5 series of judgment. And we all laugh at the Pro Bowl when we see physically how guys give effort and it goes on the roller coaster. Let's talk about philosophy and let's talk about game plan in the preseason. When coach is telling you to try easy, and nothing is more difficult than going out there and trying easy. What does that mean? That means, look, we're trying physically, but you're going easy in terms of what the playbook looks like. We're very vanilla. And then a John Gruden, old school coach, every time I'm on the field, it's an opportunity, and he's under fire. He comes out with blitzes. And look, Cliff Kingsbury can respond with fire, but he's like, why? This is not the time or the place. Congratulations on your 0-0 record still. So I think this was just a perfect storm that went against them, but there's no time for judgment because it's still the preseason.
It's what you said. It's very early. If I'm going to answer the question, I'm going to say, yeah, the combination is going to work. I think Kyler Murray is he's that type of quarterback and that type of player where he's going to make it work. He's a winner. He's won at every level he's been at. The problem is, number one, they had the first pick for a reason. Offensive line is terrible. But if you say, name the top 40 receivers in the league, will you name any Arizona
Cardinal? Larry Fitzgerald's still there.
Stop you would that. Name him in the top 40? Off of talent or off of name?
Don't do that.
Name. And
right.
Talent.
And so his best offensive weapon is David Johnson. They're being really vanilla. Like the first game, Kyler Murray had a pretty good game. Oh, he's really, it's the preseason. Nobody really game plans. Now you game plan. Oh, there's no game planning. That's a lie. You game plan. You just don't really go in depth with it as much as you would. Now, another point is that Arizona Cardinals defense is terrible. They couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Boom.
The Raiders just went up and down the field. So if they're stopping the Raiders here and there, it doesn't look as bad. Vance Joseph needs to get that unit on board and say, oh, man, can we play a little better defense?
Look, when I watched this, I knew the incoming was going to come, especially right after he called, Steve Keim, the general manager, called him a generational talent. Everyone is evaluating Kyler on everything that he does. But I believe last night's game was an indictment on Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury is the coach. When Kyler Murray is a rookie quarterback, his job is to go to the sideline and get answers from the coach. And it appears Cliff Kingsbury doesn't have answers. When they lined up and they mugged the gaps and did those double A-gap blitzes,
yeah,
and they're coming off the edges, at some point, Cliff Kingsbury has to change the protection. And if he doesn't have a couple of protections in his pocket, Kyler Murray is going to get hammered. And the indictment will be on Cliff Kingsbury and their air raid offense more so than the young quarterback.
Well, and that's my narrative on this from word go. I didn't like the Kingsbury hire. I think it's irritated the coaching fraternity. Rex Ryan was on ESPN this morning celebrating what happened last night and praying that it happens over and over again. You can't tell me the John Grudens and these lifetime NFL people are happy that some dude that failed at Texas Tech was handed one of the 32 best jobs in football. He's going to get everybody's A game. They can be a trash team again this year, and normally a good team would back off a little bit. I don't think head coaches are going to allow it because they want this dude to fail because they saw it last year with McVay, and that was fine. He's from the NFL, 32. But to see all those coaches get jobs because of Sean McVay, and if this dude has success, that's going to make it even more pronounced. they're going to put their foot down.
Another collective breath. Listen to what you just said.
What?
Okay, first of all, there's no such thing as hazing as a coach because I don't have to take all you coaches on at one time. I take you one at a time. Right. So, you ever been in a locker room, been hazed? Ain't no one dude jumping on you. All of them come to get this. So, it's not hazing. Let's get that out the way. Secondly, Coach A, you want to play me week one? How hard are you going to try? 100%. Oh, you want me to fail? Now how hard you gonna try? The same damn thing. So guess what? I'm not scared of you and your smoke. I understand. I agree with you. They don't want him to succeed, not just because he's gonna pull more unqualified. It's because their qualifications are going to start to get undermined. Unless you're a Super Bowl winning coach, y'all all suspect. It's kind of like in the real world with education. Oh, that bachelor's is cute now. You better keep going. If not, no one's going to care about it. So I agree with you, but there's no reason for him to feel anxiety or fear. You take them one at a time, and you're always going to get their best.
Well, my point is I don't think it's going to work. I think coaches are human beings just like players. I know you look at certain teams on the schedule and say, oh, my God. We throw our helmets out there.
And
again, Arizona's one of those teams. And I don't think anybody's going to allow that. Mm. I don't think coaches, because coaches, again, they're just like players. They feel like, oh, man, we got one here. They're going to make sure that they get this dude. And I just think for a young quarterback like Kyler Murray to be the number one pick, he's a bit undersized. That offensive line, they're vulnerable. Their defense, the whole thing. And so once that starts happening, and everybody keeps coming over to the sidelines, like Bucky said, and there's no answers, this thing's going to go sideways and off the rails. The Arizona organization, to me, be based on what they did to Steve Wilks and Josh Rosen, they're under a gun that I think is going to smother this.
The coaching staff and the players know what type of game planning is going on in the preseason. They know. So we can talk and say, oh, man, Kingsbury knows, okay, we're being real vanilla. His only advantage right here is the first couple games. Nobody knows what he's going to do. That's his advantage. And so he needs to keep that advantage.
Right.
So he's going to be as vanilla as he can right now. The first game he'll have, and if they don't really know, they can go watch Texas Tech. They can go watch the preseason. Be vanilla as possible because the first two games are what matter, and I need to have that element of surprise going into those two games. So I'm going to keep things under wrap.
I hear you talking about keeping it under wraps, but at some point, if you got the number one overall pick, you got your number one quarterback, the guy that's going to be your starter, you would think you would like to protect him. You would think that you'd like to build up his confidence, especially as we're heading into the next week, which is week three, which is viewed as the final dress rehearsal. If I'm a starter rookie quarterback, I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that he enters the regular season confident and ready to go. You can't get him knocked around. And what we saw last night from the Raiders, they were bringing them dogs at him.
Yeah.
He didn't have any answers.
But that's unfair. Like, I mean, we should be looking at Gruden like, you're doing way too much.
I mean, it's right dirty. He's a dirty pool.
Yeah,
I mean,
right, dirty pool. Thing. It's the same thing when the Cleveland Browns come out in no huddle. We alert them. We're going to run no huddle to start the game.
Right.
And so very similar, like, oh, we're going to blitz you. It could be what you said. We're going to blitz you. Have an answer for this Mike Zimmer double A-gap blitz.
Yeah. I mean, I got been in the Pro Bowl before. I remember the first series of the Pro Bowl. Ran around Chris Samuel. I was going about 80%. He was going 50. He said, you want this all game? Which speed we going to go at? That's the preseason. It's like, we got a gentleman's agreement how we going to approach this. Right, John Gruden? Yeah, I do. Then blitzes are coming. So he's like, okay, I see how this is played. But look, do you want to sell him fool's gold? Let him think that, oh, this NFL is easy after week two. Or do you want him to know that, hey, man, you're going to have to face adversity and you're going to have to climb this hill?
Well, I think Bucky's point, and it's mine, all sports and all positions, but particularly a quarterback, it's a confidence game. And if things go poorly in this preseason, it could impact Kyler Murray's confidence. Now, will it destroy it?
No, I hear you. Yeah,
his kid, his dad, the whole nine, he's built for some adversity. He'll be – being that small is adversity. He's overcome. He's built for some. But when you get out there and you find out, well, damn, these other guys is just as fast as me. And the things I used to do at Oklahoma, you know, it's not as easy here. if they rattled this kid's confidence in any way, and I don't want to make too much of it, I'm just mentioning it, I'm not trying to dwell on it, but he had an awkward little interview coming out of halftime.
Yeah, boy, with Lisa Salt.
I'm not making, he's a different cat.
He different, boy.
He's a different cat.
He is
cat.
Different, I give him
and
that.
So love it. I just, that energy and that difference, yeah. I just don't think it's going to take much when you have a coach with no NFL pedigree.
Oh.
To get people to start questioning.
Oh.
What are we doing over here?
Oh, keep questioning, because I want to give you some historical facts that I want to dwell on so people can just pause in this moment.
Failures in college, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know.
You know where you're going, huh?
You already know. Look at what I'm trying to diffuse it before I blow you up. Here we go. Coaches who took these teams to Super Bowls and struggled in the preseason.
Oh, Arizona's in the Super Bowl now.
No, I'm just saying. Pause. Ron Rivera, 1-3. Pete Carroll, 1-3. John Harbaugh, 1-3. Sean Payton, 1-3. And when they first become a head coach and in the preseason. And I wonder what Jason Whitlock was saying, or Speak for Yourself, probably with Colin back in the days, or when those moments were occurring. You just got to
run them names again. Pete Carroll had been at the New York Jets. Sean Payton had been with the Cowboys.
Yeah, failures.
Who else did you name? Again,
Ron Rivera
played in the NFL.
Yeah. The osmosis works, huh?
No. They're NFL people.
Bill Belichick had tremendous success with Bill Parcells and got to Cleveland. Excuse me. So don't give me this whole, you've been around it, it's just going to translate.
We've seen this dude fail where no other coach had failed for 30, 40 years.
That's real. I'll give you that.
I can't answer that. He gets a job. Steve Wilkes gets fired. Josh Rosen gets run out of town for that guy to go draft his 5'10" quarterback.
Nick Saban couldn't lose a collegiate game, gets to the pros. Oh, my God. Okay, so it could go both ways. You could be the man in college, and still the NFL is going to be an adjustment.
And I'm going to tell you what NFL coaches believe. Don't bring them college dudes up in here.
That's right.
He needs a team. When you look at Sam Darnold last year, he didn't have a lot of weapons, but defensively, they kept him in games somewhat. Mm. You look in Buffalo with Josh Allen. Defensively, mm-hmm. McDermott kept him in games. That defense has to keep him in games.
Well, and that offense has to keep the defense in games as well. Because if you're going 3-and-out and punting and putting that defense back out there time and time again, and they're pinning you deep in your own territory, again, the offense helps the defense out just as
much.
It's
one game. This third game should be very interesting because the starters normally play at least two series into the third quarter. You're really going to game plan that first half. It should be very interesting.
This is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself, and I got a website you have to visit. Pristine.com. Pristine Auction has daily auctions ending nightly and with a dollar starting bids. Authenticity is important to Pristine Auction. They guarantee authenticity and come with authentication from only the most trusted sources. Pristine auctions are affordable. Most people don't think they can afford this stuff, but it is much more affordable than you think. A signed Ray Lewis Baltimore Ravens jersey sold for under $100. A Mike Tyson autographed boxing glove sold for under $100. It's quick and free to register, free to bid, and you only pay if you win. Use registration code when joining pristine.com. That's pristine.com. And new users will receive a $5 auction credit. Again, you'll get a $5 auction credit when you register using the code SPEAK, S-P-E-A-K, to sign up for pristine.com. That's pristine.com. TJ Houshmandzadeh and Bucky Brooks are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to the NFL, where running backs have seen their position devalued in recent years. But now it appears they're actually trying to do something about it. A new organization called the International Brotherhood of Professional Running Backs has filed a petition with the National Labor Relations Board asking that the group be split apart from the NFLPA and recognized as a separate union just for running backs. This sounds crazy, but I love it.
You love it.
I love it because I think running backs have been done unfairly by NFL rules and the way they've changed the game. No one has been looking out for them. and I don't blame them for going this route. The league is exploding with money, and their position keeps losing value and worth less money. The game is screwed up, man. The running back is still the most exciting position in the NFL. It's a reason to buy a ticket, and they're treated like they're treated worse than kickers.
That was a tremendous story you sold. Not exactly factually correct. You know, I got some numbers here, but I'm going to get you with this first. It takes me to a bad place. It takes me to the quarterback club. Remember those days?
I was going to say that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm in your notes.
I love it.
That elitism that they were trying to create. We're bigger than y'all. Yeah. And now the running backs are sitting on the flip side. Y'all trying to say we less than y'all? But in reality, how do you materialize that conversation and story to a coach who's saying, I'd rather use my receiver than you. I'd rather throw the short pass, which is with less adversity than a long run. How do you translate this and monetize it? When the running back franchise number has been going down of late, but it's going up next year. It's going up almost to the tune of $1.5 million. What about the other people who are lesser on the totem pole than the running backs at, by position? You want to talk to a safety? Anybody? Safety union out there? Tight ends. Y'all want a union too? Special teamers. Y'all need a union too? So my thing is, I understand it's not a one-size-fit-all policy. Quarterbacks are getting the lion's share of all the love. But to sub-unionize and now say we have these factions within a union, I don't see
all them other positions you name never carried the league. Walter Payton, Jim Brown, Gale Sayers, Barry Sanders, these guys carried the league at one time. And so safety, never.
It's a new day, brother.
See, this is the problem. It's not a crazy idea. It's actually a brilliant idea. It's just never going to happen.
And I'm not so sure.
I don't think it ever happens because you talk about it's probably 4 to 5, maybe a handful of guys that are in this position where what I don't like about it is if you're a first-round pick, they pick up that fifth-year option, they're going to run you into the ground and get rid of you. And so there needs to be something done about this. And these guys are doing the right thing. Melvin Gordon and Zeke Elliott holding out. The thing with Zeke Elliott, if you stay out of trouble, you probably got a deal.
But, TJ, the point you made that's excellent that I want to expound on is this is about the rookie wage scale and DeMaurus Smith
needs to change.
And the NFLPA.
Needs to change.
These running backs are getting screwed over in this, and that's why they're like, hey, man, D. Smith and this, they're not looking out for us. We have to do our own thing.
I mean, in essence, it's a 6-year deal. You sign for 4, they pick up the 5th-year option, then they franchise you, then they get rid of you. It's not fair, but it is what it is.
So from a team standpoint, I believe that's the new hustle. The new hustle now when it comes to running back, everyone is like, oh, don't take one in the first round. No.
You take
him. Take him in the first round. Take the best running back in the planet in the first round. Lock him up. Then you can put him on the franchise tag and franchise tag him again if he's worthy. Yeah. For 6 years in his prime, you have him. Cost control. Josh Jacobs for the Oakland Raiders. First round. 4-year, $11 million. You mean $3 million a year for a guy who could be my best player? I'm going to take that all day. Melvin Gordon is protesting because he's at $5.6 million. Look, for a guy that is maybe the 4th, 5th best player on the Chargers, not enough bread. But all the team decision makers and executives have figured out that is the best way to build my team. Much like everybody is beginning to talk about quarterbacks, having a quarterback on a cheap deal, now it's get a top-flight running back
and see,
on
but
a rookie
quarterbacks,
deal
they gonna,
the first
they get
round.
They gonna get their money. They get their money.
And, Marcel, that again is why I do think the running backs, because of, by touches, these top running backs is getting 20 touches a game.
At least 350 a year.
20 touches a game.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at wide receivers that get 7-8 touches, maybe 12 targets a game, and they're getting more money. I'm putting more wear and tear on my body. I'm not going to be out here for as long as these other guys. And in my prime, I'm more valuable. Mm-hmm. Zeke is more valuable than Amari, Dak, everybody else. Hell yeah, they need to unionize because this union isn't taking care of them. And so I don't blame them.
It's a great idea. It's never going to happen, but go ahead, Marcellus.
Man, y'all act like this was like some mastermind sitting back as a GM capologist say, let's devalue running backs. One, the reason that they're getting devalued and the rookie wage scale is in place is because veterans were complaining. And I think who was the last one? Matthew Stafford?
No.
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford.
Huh? It was dumb.
But they
hooked. Dumb, though.
Tell me. So there is a happy medium. I give you that.
What did they say?
He got 50 without even playing a snap.
We were still playing. Oh, the money's going to go to the vets.
And it did.
That didn't happen.
Okay.
That did not happen.
So there's a happy medium. I agree with that. But now, how do you force? How do you execute? We want our running backs to get more money. How?
You change that rookie wage scale because it's damaging the running backs. And the guy, again.
To go back to where we were or go to where?
4-year
where
contract.
Where do you land? 4-year contract?
Somewhere they got to do something because this isn't fair. They're the second, third, maybe sometimes the best player on the team, and they're locked into deals where they can never score on that. You get that contract. Yes. Everybody else is going to make it past year 5, presumably. A quarterback can play damn near forever. These receivers can play to age 34, 35. By the time these guys can get their money, oh, man, you washed up. You 30 years old, 31 years old.
Well, you could stretch them out to 7 years with the two franchise tags. I give you all that. But like any venture capitalist would tell you, he would look at you and say, great idea, son, but how are you going to execute it? And if you can't, if your team and you can't execute
it, right. D.B. Smith for yeah.
It's not no, many Adrian Petersons, Frank Gore's, LeSean McCoy's out there no more. They getting rid of guys. There's not many of them out there.
And that was the thing, because if you go all the way back to when we were playing, when Gene Upshaw was the head of the union, one of the things they used to talk about, they talked about, now we don't want to have a rookie wage still, because even when those guys get paid, when you go back to the table, you're like, I got to start at whatever Sam Bradford's getting because I'm an established player.
I hear that.
When we did the rookie wage scale, what happened? Look, man, these things don't work in a vacuum.
This is a
owners and management, they figured out
it's a byproduct how to build a team. Of bad leadership from DeMaurice Smith. Mm. Darnell,
players,
sir, you missed anything?
Players started it.
Yeah, I know a guy who definitely would want to join a union, Ezekiel Elliott, who's still sitting now during his contract negotiations with the Cowboys, but it sounds like he's still putting in work. Adam Schefter tweeted out that Zeke is weighing in the low 220s, which is the lowest since his rookie year. I want to ask you guys, is this a good sign for the Cowboys?
Well, I think it's a good sign for Zeke. He's trying to show that he's mature and taking care of business. He's doing everything in his power to say, pay me. It's a good sign for him. But if they don't come with the right money, and particularly based off what we just talked about, staying strong, Z. Don't come in.
It's a great sign for what's yet to come in this year. It's a horrible sign if you look at him in totality in terms of professionalism. Because whenever a guy loses a bunch of weight or gets into shape, wait a minute, how long you been on this team? Like, day one didn't get you right? Like, this professional atmosphere didn't get you right? Oh, contract talks is getting you right? Be careful, that's a slippery slope.
Motivation, one word. He's motivated to prove to the Cowboys and everybody else that I should get this money. And so it's great. It's great for him. Whatever's motivating him, let it motivate you while you're in Cowboys.
But how long is it going to motivate him?
Yeah, it's great for the short term. But we've seen Zeke. We've seen Zeke in the regular season. We've seen him become chipmunk Zeke, where he's all stuffed in his helmet. We don't want fat boy Zeke. And so we got to be careful because, look, whatever players are, once we give them a lot of bread, it only comes out.
Mm. Some players, so you give them a lot, they want more.
Yeah.
And so it can go both ways.
But there's lulls between the contract signing. There's lulls. What you gonna do then?
I used to overeat at Applebee's. Now I do it at Ruth Chris. Bucky Brooks is back. We're joined now by one of the stars of Lock It In, which returns on Monday, and the founder of Outkick the Coverage, Clay Travis. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about Kaepernick, whose name's been coming up a lot this week after Jay-Z signed his deal with the NFL to help work on social justice issues and entertainment. Cap posted this video of him working out alongside his fellow protester and Panther safety, Eric Reed. While a lot of Cap's allies denounced Jay-Z's deal and pointed out that Cap still out of work. So with all this noise swirling around again, I want to ask you guys, would it be smart for the NFL to give Cap another chance?
It's funny. I thought about this morning in terms of would it quiet the critics? Because there seems to be all these people up in arms. How can you do this? And Cap still doesn't have a job. But I just don't know which team would do it, would bite that bullet. You're probably going to get your coach fired by doing it. He's going to bring all the drama and noise, and the coach will be scared to do it. And so, you know, maybe Miami, but Brian Flores, why handicap him? Tampa Bay, and they got Jameis Winston. I just don't know where to put him, but I do think it could quiet the noise if he were back in the league.
The only way to answer is really to run through both scenarios in your head and think about it. If you do bring him back, one, is he ready for that grind? There's been reports that he wants to be a starter in the league. He wants starter opportunity, starter money. There are very few opportunities like that in the league. Are you ready for that grind when you're sitting there saying, hey, man, I've been blackballed and crucified? That's a whole different mindset. And then if you say, you bring him in, you empower him, which is great, but empowering that message is not great. Just remember, in the moment, he was a backup who made some missteps, sat down, wasn't even kneeling at first. It's amazing how this becomes a symbol of this. When at first he was actually just sitting down. And Nate Boyer told him, can you please take a knee? And now we run with the knee. That's already a misstep. So, okay, you empower that. If you say no, Kaepernick, stay where you are, you're going to always have this criticism. But you're going to have that criticism still alive even if you bring him in. So I don't think it silences anything. If I had to lean, I'd say no, don't bring him in unless you feel that the value is in the production and production alone.
I think it matters what situation he's brought into. Because he has to, in my mind, come in behind a big-time starting quarterback who has a job. Because here's what will happen. If he doesn't, then immediately as soon as the starting quarterback starts playing bad, the same people who are Kaepernick people are going to be saying he doesn't need to just be in the league. He needs to play. Secondly, he needs to go to a coach and an organization and a team that is in a market that it isn't awful business to bring him in, right? You got to ultimately, you're in the business of selling tickets. You're in the business of bringing in a crowd. And there are solid 16 to 20 markets, I think, that don't make sense there. And then finally, I think the biggest question is, will Kaepernick continue his protest? Because he's going to get ripped like Jay-Z if he comes back into the NFL and he starts standing for the national anthem. So it creates all these questions that we still don't know the answers to. I think we need to know all that before we make it a decision.
One thing, though, I don't think whether he needs or not is an issue anymore. People don't care. Television networks aren't going to show it. I don't, you know, will the woke crowd over social media write and talk about it constantly? Absolutely. But, you know, whether he kneels or not, I don't think that's a make or break issue anymore.
I think from a fan perspective, he absolutely should be in the league. But the reasons are out there as to why he's not. When we think about Colin Kaepernick and the best way for him to re-enter the league is to go through a familiar environment, meaning a coach that knows him, someone that knows his talents, and a scheme that will allow him to do his thing. There's only one place that does that.
Baltimore.
When you think about John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, they can speak. Greg Roman being the offensive coordinator, they've done it. And the fact that John Harbaugh is on record saying they want to revolutionize the NFL with the offense they're creating, well, they now have an opportunity to do that because with Lamar Jackson, they have RG3. They brought Trace McSorley in. If RG3 is out, you can say that Colin Kaepernick is a serviceable quarterback too. Now you're able to bring him in and allow him to do what he's always done.
The problem with Baltimore is they've been down that road already. And then Nessa and his trio, trio of them, they put the picture out of Django as him as a slave owner, Ray Lewis as a slave. Yeah. Like, that's what's so crazy about this, the missteps. I keep highlighting that. And it's amazing that, you know, and I call them the trio because I don't like to go through all the stuff. But when you're really affected by what they're standing for, and I know that not all of them were affected by this in their upbringings and real adversity, you can see through it. It's so nuanced, and they're not being sophisticated with this. If you have an opportunity to be in the NFL and to still parlay that into the empowerment for your message and in your employment, like Eric Reed, why don't you do this the professional way? Mm-hmm. And I think that they think that protest means you got to be mad. You can still be mad, but also work towards a better place for those who are really affected, not just through you as some kind of gatekeeper.
From a football perspective, isn't that the worst thing that could happen for Lamar Jackson? Because right now they're basically building everything around the idea that he is the future of the franchise. As soon as you bring in Colin Kaepernick and Lamar Jackson has a couple of bad games, which every second-year quarterback this year will have, everybody's going to start beating the Colin Kaepernick needs to be the backup quarterback coming in. And there's going to be more intense pressure, I think, on that situation because Kaepernick's so much more famous than your average backup quarterback. I think that's a tough spot to ask Lamar Jackson to be a part of.
You know, as we talk this through, one of the things I think about is, like, I'm not sure if he's willing to sacrifice anything to get back into the NFL.
Well, I think it's better for him if he doesn't come back.
For his overall brand, for whatever this is. Less is more, which has really been his mantra. He's not saying much. He's letting everyone else speak for him.
Yes.
And that's part of what this is. That's why I said, will he do the grind? Will he be in a third third on the depth chart, day one somewhere. Will you be that guy?
Because it does take all of that. Are you humble enough to say, I'll come in and do whatever? Will I come in as the number three and prove myself playing with the threes in preseason games when you've always been a one? I don't know.
And keep in mind, if he comes back and he doesn't perform very well or he never becomes a starter anymore, his story is over. Because people are going to say, you know what, the 3 years that he didn't play, he wasn't very good. He wasn't good enough. In order to rise up, he needs to come back and he needs to win. Yeah. If he's just an average backup in the NFL, his power is over as a political force.
Great point.
I'm going to flip because I originally think I started this conversation like, well, maybe there's some upside to bringing him into the tent. As I think this through and we talk, I don't see the upside just because I don't think his goal really is playing football.
I agree.
Or he would make a few little other decisions. And I'm not even talking about sacrificing, giving up, taking a knee. You can take a knee. Talk. Come out publicly, defend your position, show yourself to be a leader, quiet the noise around you from the people connected to you. Just do that. Show me that you're willing to say, hey, Nessa, I'm the man here. It's my job in the NFL, not yours. I'm going to be the voice on this. So I think the real goal here is just to dirty up the name of the NFL. That's what he seems to be most into, him and his group, is they want to keep accusing the NFL being ready, you won't give me a job, you won't give me a job. And so if you let him back in, I think he's going to end up embarrassing some people.
One other team, the Eagles. They've lost a couple of backup quarterbacks. They've got a owner who has been very active, left-leaning. They've already won a Super Bowl, so the pressure is not necessarily on them to the same degree. And they've already given big money to Carson Wentz, so it's not like there's really a quarterback controversy that could possibly exist there. Maybe that's a move that they could be interested in making.
But again, this goes back to what sacrifice are you willing to make and the points that Marcellus and Bucky are talking about, and you were talking about. If you're the backup quarterback, part of your job is helping the starter.
Service and to not draw attention to yourself.
Yeah, but it's also, it's like, you're part of his preparation. Hey, does he got a guy to watch film with in the morning and talk about what they see?
Yeah.
Is Cap really into that, or will he spend his free time like Eric Reid does, tweeting nonstop about how angry he is.
Yeah. And look, it hits me, man. Because, like, walking down Rosecrans in the 80s, Slauson in the 90s, it's real. And then when I hear other people who say, I'm going to take that reality and I'm going to try and champion it, I'm going to try to be a face of it, I'm trying to uplift it and give power to that situation, I say you need to do that responsibly. And right now, this is irresponsible. You're calling the owners of teams slave owners, and then you're saying the NFL is about systemic oppression. Do you even know what the definition of systemic oppression is? It has to be a group. It has to be a multiples. Colin Kaepernick's out the league, and he's blackballed. I am understanding that. What group, what peoples, what multitude that has been oppressed by the NFL? Name them. Eric Reid is getting a check from the NFL and then talking about the systemic oppression. And then you're taking a plea bargain with an NDA, which you can't even talk about, but then you say, we're going to continue to fight. You wasn't fighting in trial? Where's the exposures of this? So, look, I'm from the real, so you ain't gonna check my card. And then I played in the league, and I know how it goes. It's not just who's the best guys, big, fast, strong, get on the field, run around, draw it in the dirt. There's a professionalism to this, too. And it doesn't mean you got to just sit there and abide by all what the owners and GMs and coaches are saying. But understand, if you are the man, then you have a different set of the rules when you're not. And he didn't play his game right.
Clay Travis is back with us. Let's move to the NBA, where LeBron and the Lakers just got some bad news with Boogie Cousins going down with a torn ACL during a private workout in Las Vegas yesterday. The injury is Cousins' third major leg injury in the last year and a half, and could keep Boogie, who was set to be the Lakers' starting center, out for the entire season. Question here is this a big deal for the Lakers and their title hopes?
It sounds like I'm about to diss Boogie, but no, it's not a big deal because he was house money. There was a reason why he was on a one-year, $3 million deal. It was kind of a prove-it situation. And you weren't betting on him because he's not reliable in terms of his durability. So this was a situation where you had nothing but upside, but I don't think that the floor drops just because Boogie's not there. That was the situation in Golden State. Unfortunately, it was a situation with the Lakers. I think they will have to move forward with the mindset as when they signed him. Not sure if he's going to be there. Now they know he's not.
I think it lowers the ceiling. I think that's what you said. They were hoping they were going to get a stock that was undervalued, that was going to skyrocket if he could come back healthy off the two injuries. We saw flashes game two. He basically won the finals for the Warriors, and I think the Lakers were hoping they could get some consistent minutes out of him. JaVale McGee, I don't know that he's going to necessarily be able to carry the load there for the Lakers. And I think in a bigger scale, this is what has to make you nervous about the Lakers, because LeBron finally looked like he got Superman's cape tugged on a little bit when he had the injury last season. Yeah. And I'm nervous if I'm a Lakers fan that this is kind of an ominous foretelling of what might happen to the Lakers season, because you got an aging superstar in LeBron James. And if something happens to him now, there's not really any depth here. So to me, I looked at the analytics. According to the analytics experts, this drops him around a game and a half off of the ceiling. But I think this is in the playoffs a big deal, because he was good enough to be that third or fourth scorer you need in order to make a championship run. I think it's a big hit to the Lakers.
To me, I think it's a big hit, because I think the Lakers, everything the Lakers have been doing has been based on best case scenario.
Yes.
Everybody's going to play 82.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so now the best case scenario is out the window. And I think it's a big deal, because I think mindset matters a lot for the Lakers and for Anthony Davis. And Boogie was there so that Anthony Davis didn't have to play the five. And this is another broken promise to Anthony Davis. You ain't getting your number. We stole $4 million from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kawhi ain't coming.
Right.
And you know what? We're going to need you to play some of the five. Mm. And so I just think that's going to, Anthony Davis going to start looking around like, damn.
Right.
What did Rich Paul and them talk me into? Chicago.
Chicago.
And so I just think it undermines the mindset and already starts feeding a negative narrative like, man, this just ain't gonna go right. I'm snake bit here in Los Angeles.
Well, I need to bring in some lock it in magic and logic. Vegas hasn't shifted much on this. So that lets me know that when it comes to reality, not just hopes and aspirations, reality, not much has changed.
Yeah, it's good. We start, by the way, back Monday on Lock It In.
There it is.
But a little plug. But we'll be on right after this show, as we always are. What that sells you and tells you, I believe, is that Vegas wasn't anticipating much from Cousins, which is why I'm saying you get him for $3.5 million, whatever it was. You're buying a stock low and hoping that it might elevate better than you anticipated.
Yeah.
To me, that is what it's great to pay attention to what Vegas is saying. Vegas is saying Boogie Cousins isn't going to be the same guy that he was before the injuries, right? And for him, I think this is a cautionary tale, even for a guy like Dak or a guy like Amari Cooper that's out there playing without a contract. He turned down $40 million from the Pelicans even after his injury, two-year $40 million. He's going to end up making $8 million instead. Now, he's made a lot of money over his career, but a lot of times that guaranteed money, you got to take it when you can get it, especially when things like this can happen.
Look, I'm not someone that Vegas is my Bible.
Yes.
And so
they do love when you come into town.
Yeah, I know. They love it. No question.
I'm going there as soon as we get done. They're going to win some money off me.
I'm a sinner when it comes to Vegas. But again, what was Vegas's number for the Lakers last year?
Yeah.
And I bet the under.
Yeah.
And I was right. Because, again, I think there's some things that analytics cannot explain about the Lakers, particularly when LeBron James is in the equation, and emotion is a big part. And when you put all those movable, Frank Vogel, how long is he going to survive? Anthony Davis, does he plan on being here after next year? LeBron, and this thing blowing up in his face. So I just think this is a big deal. All right, before we go, football season is finally here. And as you head to the, as you head from the stadium to cheer on your favorite team, NHTSA would like you to remember that there are risks to driving drunk. So this season, let's all make sure to drive safely and responsibly. Drive sober or get pulled over. More speak for yourself after this. Got to break some bad news. Uncle Jimmy's off today.
Damn.
So we got to do the approval ratings all by ourselves. Here's a clip from our discussion earlier about Kyler Murray. Kingsbury and Kyler are going to take over the NFL the way Eric B. and Rakim took over the rap game in 1987, but they don't even know how to clap legally? It's not happening.
You talk about only five series of judgment. Coach is telling you to try easy, and nothing is more difficult than going out there and trying easy.
Mm-hmm. All right, Uncle Jimmy wanted me to say he would have compared Kyler Murray to a tribe called Quest. but I have no idea why.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you got a reason for that?
No, I have no reason.
Midnight Marauder or something?
All right, listen, I've got Kyler going down 10 points, Marcellus.
Oh, preseason judgment.
All the way to role player. Look, I just got to react to the information.
Premature judgment.
I got to react to what he did last night, 3 of 8. That wasn't a good performance, so I dropped him down. Yeah. 8 points in job performance. Right. Stayed the same all-time greatness, stayed the same character. Mm-hmm. The Lisa Salter interview was kind of awkward. So I took 2 points off in authenticity. Like down to a 59.
Look, I'm trying to get you off your square, but I had to drop his job performance too. Pick up the blitz, damn it, throw the ball away. Don't take sacks in the end zone and get safeties. But I did like that interview.
You liked the interview?
Nerds are the new rock stars, brother. Yeah. And to own weird and to display that for the world's viewing, I love that, man. Give this guy some love. He's going to be different.
All right, well, listen,
a different maker.
Our fans, our viewers agree with me, according to social media. 48%, they got him even lower than me. They got him in scouting.
Negative based.
So, you know, I think, once again, I'm with the people.
You with the people,
We'll be back on Monday.
All right, boy.